Okay, good morning, everybody. Welcome to our Aseres Yemei Teshuva Shiur at the Young Israel of Woodmere, 6 Tishrei 5784. Tomorrow, 7 Tishrei, Erev Shabbos, is the 5th Yurtzeit of Ari Fold, Hashem Yinkom Damo Zichrono Levracha. I don't usually recommend, I always recommend, I just don't say it, that you read my weekly Dvar Torah post. In addition to the Dvar Torah that we share, I always publish and write a weekly Dvar Torah post on the Parsha that's not related to something that I teach. So it's always something new. I recommend that you read it this week. It could be found on YU Torah. And the link is also on my WhatsApp status. Okay, this year came together with tremendous Siyata Deshmaya. I did not realize when I started to prepare the shiur how much hashgacha pratis there was going to be in the shiur preparation and how relevant it was going to be to the Inyani Diyoma. So, of course, we are journeying through the Aseres Yemei Teshuva. 1-2 Tishrei is Rosh Hashanah. 3 Tishrei is Tzom Gedalia. We always have Shah Beshuva. And Tes Tishrei is Erev Yom Kippurim, where it's a mitzvah to eat. We have 2 Seudos. And Yud Tishrei, of course, is the Tzom Asher Yom Mechaper. Yom Kippurim is Mechaper. I really did not know what I was going to speak about or what I was going to be teaching. I really had no idea. I was looking through a certain sefer, and I saw a reference to Reuven's Teshuva, and I'm familiar with Chumash and the Chumash and Rashi and a piece by Rav Soloveitchik on Reuven's Teshuva. So I thought, oh, that'll be something nice to explore. Let's start looking at Reuven's Teshuva, and the whole shiur continued to snowball in the most Hashgacha Pratis Dik way, and it was just really an incredible experience to prepare it and to learn through the sources, and it is a zchus to be able to share it with you. I'm actually going to be quoting to begin our shiur, Rabbi Joseph B. Soloveitchik, the Rav Zatzal. Rav Soloveitchik says, while the outside world, I will tell you when you need your handout, you don't need it yet. While the outside world focuses on the beauty of an item, the outside world focuses on the beauty of an item, the chitzonius, Judaism is concerned with the inner essence. We know the pasuk tells us in Tehillim, Mem hei kol kvuda bas melach pinima. The entire glory of the king's daughter is within. While the outside world focuses on the beauty of an item, meaning externally, Judaism is concerned with the inner essence. We would rather have a vessel that is somewhat worn, but still genuine, than one that is beautiful but fake. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that some of our greatest Rabbanim were not the greatest orators. And he speaks of his grandfather, who he speaks of often. His grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik of Brisk, Rav Chaim Brisker Zatzal, was a great teacher, the Rav said, but he did not often engage in public speaking. Rav Chaim Brisker spoke twice a year, on Shabbos Haggadah and on Shabbos Shuvah. He used to explain why he usually avoided public speaking by asking, how can I tell other Jews to repent when I must repent? The theme of these 2 Shabbos, so Shabbos HaGadol, we daven that the Mashiach should reveal himself, Benisi Nigala, Benisi Asidi Nigael, we daven for the Geula will come, and we hopefully, Be'ezrat Hashem, do the Avodah that we're supposed to do, when we have come closer to the Ribbono Shel Olam through Teshuvah, so then we will be meriting the Geula. So the theme of Shabbos HaGadol, yes, it's Pesach, and it's preparation for the Yom Tov, but the Yetziyah Mitzrayim was not the ultimate redemption. The Yetziyah Mitzrayim was part of the process to bring us to the ultimate redemption, which is the Yimos HaMashiach, which will come when we do what we're supposed to do. Of course, the theme of Shabbos Shuvah is also the theme of Teshuvah, very, very much so, as we are poised between these powerful days of Yom HaDin on the one hand and Yom HaKippurim on the other hand. Rav Soloveitchik pointed out that some of the greatest rabbis were not the greatest orators. His grandfather, Rav Chaim Soloveitchik of Brisk, was a great teacher, but he did not often engage in public speaking. In my notes, I italicized and bolded the next sentence, and you will see why as we journey through the shiur. He spoke twice a year, on Shabbos HaGadol and on Shabbos Shuvah. He used to explain that he avoided public speaking by asking, how can I tell other Jews to repent when I must repent first? What should Michal Horowitz say? That's what Rav Chaim Brisker says. But okay, the Maisa. From 1892 to 1918, says the Rav, 1892 to 1918, all we have is 1 teshuva drasha from Rav Chaim. Nevertheless, he had a tremendous influence on the city of Brisk, even without public speaking. Rav Salveitcher continues, Rav Yitzchak Kochanan Spector gave the same drasha every Shabbos Shuvah. He would begin by quoting the Vidui, we are foolish, we have committed transgressions. Then he would begin to weep, to cry, and the congregation would cry along with him. That was Rav Yitzchak Kochanan Spector's entire Shabbos Shuvah drasha. Even though the Lithuanian rabbi, says Rav Salveitcher, were not great orators, they had a great influence on their communities. Their strength lay not in speaking, but in their moral character. Bilam, however, was an excellent speaker, says Rav Salveitcher. Contrast that to Moshe Rabbeinu. He was no orator at all. In fact, he suffered from a speech impediment. But he loved the Jewish people to the depths of his soul. Moshe, we say goodbye to in Hazinu and Vizosa Bracha. In his humility, he realized an important lesson that we would do well to learn. Often, speaking words of sanctity in public may constitute a desecration. Sometimes it is proper to leave them unsaid. So I know it's pretty funny, pretty ironic piece for someone who spends her life public speaking to begin her Shabbos Shuvah Shir with. However, okay, Lamaisa, the reason I chose this piece, listen, we do live in different times than in Brisk, and clearly there is a great need for those who, Baruch Hashem, can disseminate Torah, because we all need to be influenced by our Rabbanim and by our teachers. However, the reason I really chose this piece as the introduction to the Shir is because Rav Chaim Brisker, though he avoided speaking, he spoke twice a year, Shabbos HaGadol and Shabbos Shuvah. And with that, he was able to inspire the people of Brisk, and he had a tremendous influence on the city. Okay, so what is the Haftorah for Shabbos Shuvah? The Haftorah from Shabbos Shuvah comes from three of the Nevi'im in Trei Asar. Svaradim have a different minhag than Ashkenazim, as is often the case with the Haftorah. However, all communities agree and begin the Haftorah in Hosea, which is the first source on your handout, Perek Yud Dalid Psukim Beis through Yod. The first nine verses of the Haftorah, which are from the final Perek of the Navi Hosea, are read by all communities as the beginning of the Haftorah, to quote the Art School Stone Edition Chumash, in a loving call to Teshuvah, the Navi declares that although Israel has sinned seriously, its essence remains good and pure. It is not hopelessly evil. That's the theme of the Haftorah of the Shabbos. Israel is not hopelessly evil. We have merely stumbled into sin. The potential for teshuva, the theme of the Haftorah, always remains, and God is always ready to accept and forgive. And the beginning of the Haftorah is agreed upon by all communities. It is from the Navi Hosea. So let us open up. It is on your handout for you, please. So I'll tell you, Ashkenazim for your reference, okay? We read first from Hosea, then from Yoel, then from Micha, okay? Customs vary regarding how many of the following paragraphs are read and in what order. Some congregations, it's okay. So you could look it up, but you'll see that Lamaisa, for example, when we get to Yoel, Sfardim and Chabad Hasidim omit that part and they continue below. But everybody starts with the verses from Hosea as the call to repentance. So it is from Hosea, Perek Yud Dalid, Psukim Beis through Yud, there on Yander. Oh, I must tell you something. There is an abundance of Shemos on these handouts. If you don't keep them carefully with your Torah notes, then you must put them in Geniza. There's a box outside the office, or leave them on the beam and I'll take care of it. This year was prepared very, very late, and I did not have extra time to start taking all the Shemos, so I am telling you that if you keep it, B'kol HaKavod, enjoy it. However, it has Shemos, you must be careful with it. Okay, I did not have time to start taking out all the Shemos. Okay, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha ki koshalta ba'avonecha. These are the beginning words, the opening words of the Haftorah for Shabbos Shuvah. Return Israel unto Hashem your God, because you have stumbled in your iniquity. Like much of the Nevi'im, the words are very poetic, and some of them are difficult, so I will be using the translation just so that we all know what the Navi is telling us. We begin with famous words, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha ki koshalta ba'avonecha. Repent, Israel, return, Israel, unto Hashem your God, for you have stumbled in your iniquity. Kichu imach, you see where I'm after on the handout? Good. Kichu imachem dvarim, take with you words, vishuva el Hashem. Once again, the Navi tells us, return to Hashem. Imru Elov, and say to him, Kol Tisa Avon, Vekach Tov, Uneshama Parim Sifasenu, forgive every sin and accept goodness, and let our lips, our vidui, our confession, our teshuvah, substitute for the korbanos, which we no longer have. Ashur lo yoshienu, the Assyrians, the umas ha'olam, the culture of the world around us cannot save us. Al sus lo nirkav, we cannot ride upon a horse. Lo nomer or elokeinu lamas eloheinu lamas edinu. We no longer say about the avodah zarah, about the work of our hands, it is our God. Asher becha yerucham yosam, in you there is mercy for the downtrodden. So the Navi is talking about leaving behind the belief that the culture of the nations of the world or the nations of the world themselves can save us. The Navi speaks about returning to God and recognizing that Eila Baracha ve'Eila Basusim v'Nachnu, Capital 20 of Tehillim, b'shem Hashem Elohim Keinu Nazkir. Asher can't save us. Horses and chariots can't save us. Foreign gods, the work of our hand, can't save us. Only in Hashem is mercy for the downtrodden, for the yosam, for the amana, for those who have less, for those who are unfortunate, the orphan, we can add the widow, etc. Erpa mishuvasam, ohavim nidava. Erpa mishuvasam, I shall heal them of their rebelliousness. Ohavam nidava, I will love them with goodwill. Kishav api mimenu, because my wrath has turned away from them. By the way, notice in these psukim how many times the root word for teshuva has already been used. In the first pasuk, shuva Yisrael. In the second pasuk, v'shuvu al Hashem. Here in the fourth pasuk, kishav api mimenu, God says, my wrath is turned away from them. Eheya kital li Yisrael, yifrach kishoshana. I will be like dew for Israel. Israel will blossom like a rose. V'yach sharashav kilvanan. She will blossom like a rose and strike roots like the forest of Lebanon, just like the trees, the cedar trees in the forest of Lebanon are so strong. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says when he accepts our tshuva and we leave our wicked ways, Hashem will cause us to sprout like a beautiful flower. We will set down trees as strong, we will set down roots as strong as the trees in the Levonon. Yelchu yikonosav vihi kezayis hodo v'reyach lo kavonan. I'm going to use the English. Its tender branches will spread. Its glory will be like an olive tree. Its aroma, its scent, will be like the Levonon. Yashuvu yoshvi bitzilo. Those who dwell will dwell securely in his shade. Yechayu dagon. They will refresh themselves like grain. V'yifruchu kagafen. They will blossom like grapes. Zichro kiyayin Levonon. Their reputation will be like the vine of Levonon. Ephraim mali or la'atzabim. Ephraim will say, what more need do I have for idols? Ani anisi v'ashurenu. Ani kivrosh v'anan mimeni per yechad nimtza. I will respond, God says. I will look at him and I will say, I am like an ever-fresh cypress from me, HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Your fruit will be found. Meet last line of Hosea that all communities include in the Haftorah. Mi chacham, who is wise, viyavon and discerning, viyavon elan, can discern, understand these things. Navon viyedaim, let him be discerning and know these truths. Ki yisharim darchei Hashem, because straight are the ways of God. V'tzadikim yelchuba, the righteous will go in the straight path of Hashem. Uposhim yikashlubam, but sinners will stumble in the path of iniquity. This is the beginning. I would say, I think it's fair to say that the first pasuk is the most famous. And most people are very familiar with the first pasuk. And most of us are not as familiar with the rest of the Pesukim, but we have the theme of returning unto God. We have stumbled at our iniquity. We take with us words of repentance. We return to Hashem. We know that Hashem is the one who forgives sin, who will take our words instead of our korbanos. Asher cannot save us. Horses cannot save us. The idols of our hands cannot save us. Only in God is compassion and mercy. Hashem will heal us with our teshuvah. He will love us with his goodwill. He will turn his wrath away from us. He will be like dew upon Israel. We will sprout like a rose bush. We will be as strong as the trees in the Levonon forest. We will return, we will be in his shade, we will have grain, we will have vineyards, we will have abundant wine. Ephraim will say, I don't need idols anymore. And Hashem will say, I will give Rosh Ranan. I already forgot the translation. I am an ever fresh cypress. From me your fruit shall be found. And finally, if you are wise and discerning, understand these things. The ways of Hashem are righteous. The tzaddikim go in these ways, and sinner will stumble. That's the beginning of the Haftorah for Shabbat Shuvah. Okay. In Parak Lamed Zayin, let's put that aside for a little bit. These are the calls of the Navi to all of us to wake up and repent. In Parak Lamed Zayin of Bereishis, we have a very dramatic, very difficult, very painful Maisa that the Torah relates to us. Vayeshev Yaakov, Be'eretz Megurei Ariv, Be'eretz Canaan, everything's gevaldik, they finished by Lavan, they come home, Rachel has been healed of her barrenness, wonderful. Okay, well, she died in Perek Lamed Hey, not in that way, but now Yaakov comes back. I was going a little out of order. Yaakov comes back, he has all the Shvatim, Dina's been saved from Shechem, Perek Lamed Dalet, he wants a little peace and quiet. Vayeshev Yaakov, Be'eretz Megurei Aviv, Zukt Rashi, Bikesh, Yaakov, Leishev, Bashava. That doesn't exactly happen, because Vayu Echav ki oso ahav avihem mikol banav. Because the brothers see that there is a favorite son, there is a ben zikunim who has a ksonis pasim. And not only does he have a ksonis pasim, and not only is the ben zikunim, and not only is the most loved, but he starts to have dreams. And first Yosef dreams. Well, really, both dreams are dreams of Gedula, not first. He dreams of rulership. He dreams of bundles of wheat bowing down to him, which represents that he will be Hamaloch Tim Lochalenu, Hamashol Tim Shobanu. The answer is yes. He dreams of rulership and control of the economy, bundles, sheaves, wheat, food. In fact, his dream, his nevuah, comes true. And he also dreams of the heavenly bodies bowing down to him. Rav Salvechik explains these dreams. One represents economic success. One represents spiritual success. The Shamayim and Aretz represents the ruchnius of a Jew, and the gashmius is represented by the wheat. Okay. And one day the brothers are out being shepherds, and father sends Yosef to go see how the brothers are doing. Okay, maybe it's not the best idea, but he was compelled by Hashkacha Pratis to send Yosef, and Yosef, who is a good boy and does kibbutz of aim, goes to see how the brothers are faring. He finds the angel, the control of Jewish destiny, who are you looking for? They're not here anymore. They went to Dasan. He finds them. Hine bala chalamas halazaba, lechuvin argenov, and aslicha achara boros, venomar chayar rachusuhu. Yehuda says, I don't know, well, Reuven tries. We're going to get to that. Reuven is not successful. Yehuda Malchus says, you know, why should we kill him? Let's throw him into one of the pits. While he's in one of the pits, Midyanim, Sochrim, Yishma'elim go by. Someone pulls him up. It's not clear, was it the brothers, or the Midyanim, or the Sochrim, or the Yishma'elim. It's not clear who pulled up Yosef. This is not a partial of Yeshev Shir, but I really love the biblical personality of Yosef. Someone pulls him up from the pit. Somebody sells him. Lamaisa, Yosef is gone. The brothers sit down to have a meal. Parak Lamed Zayin of Bereishis, Pasuk Chof Ches, on your handout. If you came in late, you please must have a handout for Shir. They're on the corner of the Bima. Parak Lamed Zayin, Pasuk Chof Ches. Vayavru Anashim Midyanim Socharim Vayimshuchu. So you see it's very ambiguous. I'm just pointing it out. It's not clear who actually sold Yosef, even though people tend to think it was the brothers. That is definitely not stated in the Torah. This is a trade route. The caravan that takes him has spices because it's the trade route in the ancient Middle East. And there are different people on this trade route. So there's a caravan of men and Midyanim and Sochrim merchants. Lamaisa vayimshichu. Someone pulls him up. Vayalves Yosef min habor. Someone takes Yosef out from the pit. For purposes of our shir, it's really not relevant. It's just fascinating to see how you have to read the Torah so carefully. Vayimkru es Yosef layishmeidim. We don't really know who sold Yosef either. Somebody sold Yosef to the Ishmaelites for 20 pieces of silver. Vayaviu es Yosef mitzvah. The whole verse is ambiguous. Who pulled him up? Who sold him? Who brought him down to Egypt? It's not clear. Again, it's really not relevant at all for our shir. Lamaisa vayoshav Reuven al habor. Reuven returns to the pit. Vihine ein Yosef babar. Yosef is not in the pit. Reuven is the bechor from Leah. Yosef is the bechor from Rachel. As the bechor, Reuven feels a certain sense of responsibility. He's a fascinating biblical character. He has tons of potential, but he's never able to live up to his potential. He is demoted. He loses kahuna. He loses malchus. Okay, he returns to the pit. Yosef is not in the pit. He tears kriya. He tears his garments. By the way, just more fascinating, bigadav. If I keep doing this, I'm not going to get through the shir. Bigadav is the root word bogade, traitor or treason, trespass. It doesn't say he tore his shirt. It doesn't say he tore his me'il. It doesn't say he tore his levush. The root word bigadav is specifically referring to the treason, the trespass, bogade, that has occurred here, the sin that their brothers conducted when they sold Joseph. Okay. Vayashav elachav. Now you notice I bolded those two for you, correct? Those, yeah. Because what you should notice is that vayashav is also the root word of teshuvah. And he returns to his brothers. Vayomer hayalad einenu v'ani ana aniba. The child, the lad, Yosef is not here. What on earth am I going to do? Where should I go? He's beside himself. Vayichus ksonus Yosef. They take the cloak of Joseph. They shech the goat. They dip it into the ksonus in blood. They send it home to father. Hakirna ksonus bin chahim lo. Rashi says, look at Rashi. Vayashav Reuven. B'mechiraso lo hayasham. Why did Reuven return to the pit? Was he not there when the brother sold Joseph? The answer is, he was not there when the brother sold Joseph. Why wasn't he there when the brother sold Yosef? Shehigiu yomo leilech uleshamish es aviv. It was his turn to go be meshamish, the god of Hadar. The Gedolim have someone who is meshamish. Generally, a grandson is meshamish the Gadol. In this case, it was Yosef. Turns, the brothers took turns, apparently, serving father. It was his day to serve father. Okay. Davar acher. Another reason he wasn't there. Asuk haya bisako uvita aniso al shabil bel yitzue aviv. We're going to come back to that. Another reason that he was not by the pit at the time of the sale, he was busy. We daven to be osek b'divrei Torah. What was he osek with? Sackcloth and fasting, because he mixed up, he moved his father's couch. We're going to come back to it. You're going to see it in your source soon. So just, yeah, you're going to see it soon. Sackcloth and fasting represents tainis. Mordechai HaYehudi went through the streets of Sushan wearing sackcloth and ashes because he was fasting, repenting for the sin of the 18,005 Jews who went to the party, for those who bowed down to Haman. Reuven was doing teshuvah. And I'm not telling you that. The Medrash is going to tell us that momentarily. How does the Medrash know that? Because what is the Lashon used to tell me Reuven comes to the pit? Vayashav. Now, I think I literally say this in every class I teach. Nothing in the Torah is an accident. Like you saw, Bigadav. It could have said, Vayikra asim lo tav. Vayikra et kutunato. Why does it specifically say Bigadav? To teach you that there was trespass, treason, bogade. Something terrible went on here. It doesn't need to say Vayashav Reuven. It could say, I don't know, Vayedech Reuven el habor. Vayistakel Reuven el toch habor. The fact that it says Vayashav clues Chazal into the fact that we are talking about an act of teshuvah. What was he doing teshuvah for? Moving the beds. Moving whose bed? We're going to see it inside in the source sheet soon, but just so we're all on the same page. After Rachel died in Perek Lamed Hei, in childbirth with Binyamin, Rachel dies. So Yaakov always used to have his couch, his bed. It was Tadir Ba'ohel Shel Rachel. She was the Akaras HaBayis, like Rashi tells us, numerous times. So his bed was always in Rachel's tent. After Rachel died, where's Yaakov going to leave his bed? Reuven said it should be in my mother's tent. Where did he put it? In the tent of Bilha. Yaakov took his bed and he put it into the tent of Bilha, Shivchas Rachel. And Reuven was insulted. He said, if my mother was upstaged from Rachel, okay, maybe. But Rachel has died, and now my mother is still being upstaged. And he took the couch, and he put it into Leah's tent. Reuven is doing teshuvah. That's what Chazal say. He's not there. He's busy with sackcloth and fasting because he mixed up his father's couch. Rashi, still on the Chumash. Ana aniba. Where should I go, says Reuven. He doesn't know where to go. Ana evrach mitza'aro shel abba. Where should I run away to escape the pain that will befall father when he hears that Yosef is gone? Reuven's not so concerned about his own pain here, we see. What's he concerned about? He recognizes that it will launch his father into lifelong mourning, which is exactly what happens. Ki ered al bini avo sha'ola. When they all get up to comfort him, he refuses to be comforted. He says, I will go down to the grave mourning for the child. Let's look at Medrash Bereishis Rabbah. Pei Dalid Yud Tes. Medrash Bereishis Rabbah, Parsha Yud Dalid, Simon Yud Tes. Vayashav Reuven El Habor. Reuven returns to the pit. Veheichan Haya. Where was he? Rabbi Eliezer and Rabbi Yoshua. Okay, you don't have Rabbi Yoshua's opinion on this handout. That's because when I was preparing Shira, I learned through it. Rabbi Yoshua's opinion is that it was his day to arrange everything in the household. But that's not relevant. It's a totally different opinion. So therefore, we're just looking at the opinion here, the first one, which is relevant for Shira. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, Bisako Uvitani, so he was busy with sackcloth and fasting. Why? Kishanifna halach vehitzitz lo'oso habar. We already explained why. When he finished with his sackcloth and fasting, he turns, he goes, and he looks into the bar, the pit. Hadahu dichtiv, like the pasuk says, Vayashav Reuven el habar. Amar lo hakodesh baruch hu. Wait. Should we do the Eitz Yosef? No, let's finish the Medrash, and now we'll look at the Eitz Yosef. Okay, continue in the Medrash. Amar lo kodesh baruch hu, mei olam lo chata adam lefanei ve'asa teshuva. Wow. Kodesh baruch hu says, Reuven, you're the first person in the world to do teshuva. Now let's look at the Eitz Yosef. The Eitz Yosef is a commentator on the Medrash. First of all, it tells me, let's start at the beginning of the Eitz Yosef. Rabbi Eliezer Omer, he's busy with sako uvita'aniso, with sackcloth and fasting. Look at the Eitz Yosef. Uvita'aniso, with his fasting. Haya asuk, he was busy. Al bilbul yitzue aviv, because he mixed up his father's couch. V'lefisha yashuvu la'echol lechem nifrat mehem. Eitz Yosef adds something very interesting. What's he saying? He's in the middle of fasting. The Rashi tells us that. He's fasting. The brothers, what do they do after they sell Yosef? Vayashav lechol lechem. They sit down to have a meal. Eitz Yosef says, why did he leave the brothers? Since he's in the middle of fasting and they sat down to eat a meal, he departs from them. Lefisha yashuvu la'echol lechem nifrad mehem. Because they sit down to have this meal, he takes leave of them. Vayashav, Eitz Yosef explains that the Medrash says this is lashon teshuvah. So we understand that Reuven, according to this Medrash at least, is the first Chozer Teshuvah. What does it mean? I was just reading something. Where did I read this? I don't remember. Someone came before a Rebbe, and the Rebbe thought he was a Chozer B'Teshuvah, and the person realized the way the Rebbe was speaking to him, that he thought this person was a Chozer B'Teshuvah. So the man said, Rebbe, Kavod HaRav, I'm not a Chozer B'Teshuvah. So the Rav said to him, why not? Okay? So Reuven was the first, according to the Medrash, Chozer B'Teshuvah. What does that mean? Eitz Yosef. Me olam lo chata. Dikayin v'adam harishon lo asu teshuvah alamito chadchak v'ha'onesh shena'anshu. Oh, interesting. Kayin and Adam harishon were also repentant, but they were nudged by God to repent. God appears to both of them and he engages both of them in conversation. Did you do it? Why did he do it? Did you eat from the fruit? I hear the voice of your brother's blood screaming out to me. Consequences to this one, you'll work the earth and be mortal. Consequences to this one, you'll be a wanderer and banished. So the Medrash is explaining to us that they did teshuvah. But it was because they were coerced almost. They were cajoled. They were guided by God to do teshuvah. By Reuven, we do not see any evidence that Hashem calms him and says, no, what did you do over here? Did you move the beds? Did you eat from the fruit? Did you kill your brother? So the A. Joseph explains that Cain and Adam Arishon did teshuvah as well. But it was a shas adchak. HaKadosh Baruch Hu's right there. He's like, listen, what's going on here? Because of the punishment that they were punished. Okay, let's go back to Medrash Rabbah. Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, me'olam lo chata Adam lefanai v'asa teshuvah. That is the power of Reuven's teshuvah. He introduced the concept to the world, mamish, of the ability to repent, even for very dangerous, grievous, poisonous, every sin is dangerous, grievous, and poisonous, sins, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take you back. Or HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewards him. V'ata potachta b'teshuvah techila, since you initiated repentance, chayacha, I swear by your life, sheben bincha, your grandchild, omeid upoteach b'teshuvah techila. Your grandchild will stand up and initiate teshuvah, ve'ezazah, and who is your ben bincha? Your descendant, doesn't literally mean your grandchild, your descendant who will initiate teshuvah, who is it? Hosea. Shenemar, like the Pasuk says, what's Hosea Yud Dalet Beis, the first Pasuk of the Haftorah for Shabbat Shuva. Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elkecha. So let's look back on page one and just at the first Pasuk. And this is what the Medrash quotes. Shuva Yisrael Ad Hashem Elkecha ki koshalta ba'avonecha. The call of Hosea, repent, O Israel, unto Hashem your God, because you have stumbled in your iniquity. This beautiful nevuah that we began the shir with was a nevuah of Hosea Navi. Hosea is a descendant of who? Reuven. HaKadosh Baruch Hu rewarded him. You initiated teshuvah. I will bench you with a great grandchild who will be the initiator, the one who calls out for teshuvah. The reason I'm saying that, I'll tell you one degree of hashkacha when I was preparing this shir. I saw a reference in one sefer to Reuven. So I'm familiar with these psukim and the Rashi. I've never actually looked at the Medrash Beis Rabbah insightfully before, and we're going to get to a piece by Soloveitchik in a couple of minutes on the pshat of Reuven's teshuva, which I was also familiar with. So I thought, oh, this could be a nice year, because I had no idea what I was going to be speaking about. I did not realize when I started to prepare this that the last pasuk of the Medrash is the first pasuk of the Haftorah for Shabbat Shuva. The last pasuk of the Medrash that tells us about Reuven's teshuva is the first pasuk of the Haftorah that will be read on Shabbos Kodesh. Now, why is it that, so again, I didn't choose this because of the Haftorah. It was the other way around. I decided to talk about Reuven, so I looked in the Chumash, and then I looked at the Rashi, and then I reviewed what the Rav says, and then I went to get the Medrash, and then I'm going through the Medrash, I come to them, and I say, wait, this Pasuk is mighty familiar, and it is the first Pasuk of the Haftorah. So clearly you're on the right track. Now, what does it mean your descendant is Hosea? How do we know that Hosea is a descendant of Reuven? So let's go back to the Eitz Yosef. Wait, I just want to quote from the Kotzker Rebbe. One second. I'm opening up my Medrash Rabbah insights. Okay, let's go. Zeh Hosea. How do we know that it is Hosea? De'be'era nizkar b'b'nei Reuven b'divrei hayamim. In Sefer Divrei Hayamim, Divrei Hayamim Aleph, Parakei Pasuk Vav, Be'era is mentioned as a descendant of Reuven. U'Be'era Hainu Be'eri, and Be'era is the same person as Be'eri, Kidilakaman B'Vayikra Rabba, like we see in Vayikra Rabba. V'Rotzelamar De Hosea Hu, so Hosea comes from Be'eri, who is Be'era, who is a descendant of who? Reuven. So the Eitz Yosef is just showing you how Chazal can say Hosea is a descendant of Reuven, because he is. Be'od Selamar de Hosea, hu shepatach b'mailas ha-teshuva, shalabmandu, she-teshuva megaas ad kisei ha-kavod. Meaning to say, Hosea is the one who opened up with this great maila of teshuva. Level of teshuva, attribute of teshuva, ascension of teshuva. Because we learn that teshuva magas ad kisei hakavod, teshuva reaches until the throne of glory. V'shesedonos naasulo kishegagos v'kayotze from the Yofei Torah. The great power of teshuva is not only that Hashem takes you back, but your sins are turned over. That's not the right word. Your sins had a metamorphosis. Your sins are totally changed. Like a caterpillar goes into the cocoon and comes out something totally else, totally different. You go in as you sinned bemazed. You sinned with intention. You sinned lahachas. You knew what you were doing. You come out with this process of teshuvah. And of course, Baruch Hu says it was a shogeg. It was inadvertent. You didn't know about it. It's as if you didn't do it. It wasn't your fault. It just happened. Such is the power of teshuvah. It's funny. This year was prepared yesterday, late into the night. But I was mamish just listening to a shir on my fast walk this morning that ties into this piece by the Eitz Yosef. The Eitz Yosef tells us that Hosea is the one who opened with the Maila of Teshuvah, because we know Teshuvah reaches the Kisei HaKavod. So listen to this. I'm not going to go through the whole gematria with you now, but I was listening to Rabbi Daniel Glotstein, and he said that the gematria of the word teshuvah, okay? Tav is 400, shin is 300, that's 700, 706, 708, 713. There's a method of doing gematria, says Rabbi Glotstein, where you look at a word, just listen, Kisei, for example, Chof Samech Aleph. So first you take Chof alone, that's 20. Then you take the first and the second letter, the first and the second and the third letter, the first, second, third, fourth letter. Do you understand? So you take the gematria of only of Chof, then the gematria of Chof plus Samech, plus the gematria of Chof Samech Aleph. I'm using the word Kisei here. Plus the gematria of Chof Samech Aleph Hey. Plus the gematria of Chav Samech Aleph Hei Chav. Plus the gematria of Chav Samech Aleph Hei Chav Beis. Plus the gematria of Chav Aleph Samech Hei Chav Beis Vav. Plus the gematria of Chav Samech Aleph Hei Chav Vav Vav Beis Vav Dalet. It equals Teshuvah. This is a method, he said, an authentic method of gematria. The gematria of Kisei HaKavod by this method is the gematria of Teshuvah. Because Chazal tell us that Teshuvah reaches Ad Kisei HaKavod, which the Eitz Yosef just told you here. And if you expand the gematria of Teshuvah, which is not so hard, we just did it, and you expand the gematria of Kisei HaKavod in incremental letters, it equals each other. To teach you that Teshuvah reaches the Kisei HaKavod. Who is the first one who initiated the Teshuvah? Reuven. He, not the first one who did Teshuvah, the first one who initiated Teshuvah. God initiated Adam and Cain and their journey. Reuven initiated his own. Kosh Baruch Hu says, I will reward you with a great-great-grandson, the son of Be'eri. Who is this? Hosea, the son of Reuven, descendant of. Because he will come and he will initiate the Klai Yisrael should repent. And when do we read the words of Hosea? On Shabbat Shuvah. So what we're really reading about is the journey of Hosea's great-great-grandfather, Reuven. Reuven, who understood that even if you move your father's bed, and even if you allow your brother to be sold, HaKadosh Baruch Hu will take you back. I wanted to quote something from here, but I don't know if I have time. So I think I'm not going to. In the time I'm thinking, if I want to quote it or not, I could just quote it. Okay, I'm just going to quote the Kotzker Rebbe. Okay? The great Kotzker Rebbe, Rav Menachem Mendel Mikotz, 1700, says as follows. The Kotzker Rebbe, this is on the Navi Hosea. The Torah from Shabbat Shuvah, Perek Yedalet. Shuvah Yisrael al Hashem Elokecha, ki koshalta b'avanecha, a descendant of Reuven. The Kotzker Rebbe understands Hosea's call for repentance, referring specifically to sinful actions that one committed with good intentions. Sometimes we sin with not good intentions. Not good intentions. And sometimes you might have the bad. There's an English expression. The road to H-E-L-L is paved with good intentions. Okay? Sometimes you mean well, but you still do an aver, but your intentions were good. The Kotzke Rebbe says that Hosea is calling upon us to repent, specifically for sinful action that we committed with righteous intention. Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, ad Hashem Elokecha, and to God, for things you have done for His sake. That's how the Kotzke understands it. Shuva Yisrael, repent Israel, ki koshalta ba'avonecha, ad Hashem Elokecha. You were trying to come close to God. You wanted this Maisa to bring you ad Hashem, unto God. The problem is that it was a mitzvah, Baba Avera. But your intention was to be ad Hashem Elokecha. The iniquity lies in that you have stumbled and miscalculated with good intentions. Precisely because actions seem righteous, one must assess them with great care to recognize if it is what Hashem wants from you or not, which is so often why we need Das Torah. Because sometimes what we might think is appropriate or good intentions is maybe actually according to Torah might not be correct. What does this have to do with Reuven? The Kotzke says, Hosea teaches us, Shuva Yisrael ki koshalta ba'avanecha, because what kind of sin did you stumble in? Ad Hashem Elokecha. You wanted to be close to God. You had the best of kavanos, but it was still an avera. Who does it remind me of as I'm speaking? Nadav and Avihu. Vayikrivu eish zara. What was the problem? Asher lo tziva osam. They were in a great moment of ecstasy. They were the sons of Aaron. They were tremendous tzaddikim. They want to come close to Hashem. The problem is, asher lo tziva osam. They were not commanded to do so. What does this have to do with Reuven? The Kotzke Rebbe says, why does Hosea teach us this? Because he's a great grandson of Reuven. Reuven had the best of intentions. He wanted his mother to not be insulted. He wanted his mother to be more loved than Bilhah. With the best of intentions, he moved the couch. And that's what Yaakov says, by the way, in Birkas Yaakov. Pachas kamayim al tosar, alisa mishkave avicha. You are hasty like water. Without delay, you moved the bed of your father. He had the best of intentions. Reuven, says the Kotzke, arranged Bilhah's bed, rearranged his father's bed in order to honor his mother. But when he realized he sinned, even with good intentions, he undertook teshuvah. Therefore, his descendant Hosea became the first to exhort Israel to repent for such sins. That's how the Kotzke understands Hosea's call to repentance. As a descendant of who? Reuven. And Reuven's sin was with good intentions. And the Kotzke says, Hosea is telling us, even if you had the best of intentions, if it's an avera, you need to repent. Rav Soloveitchik says, why did Reuven decide now, by the sale of Joseph, to repent? This Maisa with the bed, Binyamin was already born. Yosef is 17 years old. It happened about like 9, 10 years ago. Why now did Reuven say, oh, you know what? I think I have to do teshuvah. That was a long time ago. Rav Soloveitchik said as follows. During the actual sale of Yosef, Reuven disappeared. We know he was there in the beginning because he tries to save Yosef. It doesn't work, but he tries. Where is Reuven? So he quotes the Medrash that we've already quoted. He was taken up with fasting and sackcloth. When he went free, he looked in the pit. I think this is on your handout. Is this on your handout? A piece by the Rav. I didn't give it to you? Okay, sorry. Mistake. Okay, so just listen. Why did Reuven choose this specific occasion to repent for an act that happened almost 10 years earlier? Soloveitchik has a beautiful insight. And it's a frightening insight as well. Only now did Reuven finally realize the staggering implications of his sin. When we do something wrong, there is a ripple effect, like the stone that you skip over water. It's not just that you throw the stone into water and it goes down. There are concentric circles going outward and outward and outward and outward. And so often we don't recognize the consequences of our actions till some time later, till years later. In retrospect, we realize, look at the consequence of my deed. And only then do we realize, you know, I have to repent. When we realize what that deed has led to. Because I'll say, Tamid, 32a, Ezohu Chacham Haroa Esanolad. A wise person is one who sees the outcome of his actions. It's one of the hardest things. We're not Nevi'im. And sometimes we think that our sin is so limited, but the ripple effect carries on, and it's frightening. Says the Rav, why did Reuven choose this specific occasion to repent? Because only now, when the brothers so disrespect Yaakov by selling Yosef, does he realize the implication of his sin. After the brothers witness Reuven, the Bechor, disrespecting Yaakov, undermining Yaakov's authority by moving Yaakov's bed, their own respect for Yaakov diminished. While from the perspective of the deed itself, says the Rav, Reuven's infraction was minor, so he moved the couch, so move it back. But it did something much deeper in the family. It showed the brothers that even the Bechor does not respect father. He doesn't respect father's property, father's feelings, father's love. Why should we respect father's property, feeling, and love? The Rav is saying that the transfer of the bed from the tent of Bilhah to the tent of Leah by Reuven is what initiated the sale of Yosef. Maybe they would have done something else, but they hated him so much, and they see in this house, you don't need to respect father's wishes. Who did that come from? Reuven. Well, from the perspective of the deed itself, Reuven's infraction was minor, quote, this whole thing is a quote, the consequence of the deed was devastating. Reuven undermined Yaakov's authority in his own household. It's not my words. And the ensuing loss of respect for Yaakov by the brothers ultimately led to the proposal to kill Yosef. Reuven's the oldest brother. Who are all the brothers involved in the plot? Shimon and Levi are the ones who initiate Parshas Vezosa Bracha. Ba'apam hirgu ishu v'rtzonam ikru shor. Ikru shor refers to that they hung up shor as Yosef. It's in next week's Parsha, Vezosa Bracha, Perek Lamed Gimel. Reuven, Shimon and Levi were the ones who sold Yosef. No, I'm sorry. Shimon and Levi are the ones who come up with this whole plot and who want to kill Yosef. And Yehuda is the one who says, let's sell him instead. So who are the main ones involved in the sale of Yosef? The brothers of Leah, the sons of Leah and Yaakov. When Reuven undermined his father's authority, his four brothers saw what was happening. And they thought, if he can do that, we can do this too. Reuven finally understood the full implication of his earlier action. And therefore, when he heard, Hine bal ha-chalamos ha-lazaba l'chu v'nahargenu, v'nomar chaya ra'a achlesuhu, he was taken up with fasting and sackcloth. That's why at this moment, he realized to do teshuvah. So on the one hand, it's sad, but on the other hand, it's empowering. This is actually a true story about myself. When we were first, it's a little embarrassing, but it also relates to this idea that it's never too late to do teshuvah. When we were first married, Baruch Hashem, we were living in Flatbush, and I was expecting my son, Baruch Hashem, my eldest. I can't believe I'm saying this in public, and it goes in my Torah, so a lot of people around are going to hear it. But maybe it'll be mechazik, someone who hasn't done teshuvah for something that you did many years ago. I'll give you chizuk. If Reuven could do it, have the billion havdalos, I did it, you could do it also. So we came back from the airport, and in my beginning of my, I was very young. I was not the person I am today. I was very young. I was 20 years old. We flew to Toronto to see my family. I was expecting, Baruch Hashem. And I was not feeling well, nausea, the plane, whatever. This is so embarrassing. I literally cannot believe I'm saying this in public. I was going online, which I'm aware of. But it's for Toalas. Reuven did it. You have to be able to do it. We gave Rav Pam from Toronto, a lift home from the airport. He was going at the time, I believe, to see his father. I think. I don't know. When was Rav Pam Nifter? How long ago? My son is 26, so I'm going back 27 years ago. If someone looks up when Rav Avraham Pam was Nifter, let me know. Okay. He was going to visit someone in Brooklyn. He lives in Toronto, Shlita. And I was, this is unbelievable. I should hide behind my papers. Gives you an idea of how embarrassed we're going to be on the Yom HaDin. Ad Meiv Esim Shana. V'lo yachlu echav la'anos oso ki nivhalim bipanav. What a chazal say, oi lanu liyom hadin, oi lanu liyom tochacha. The brothers were so embarrassed. Chazal say, that's before a bus over done, they're embarrassed. How embarrassed are we going to be? So we gave Rav Palm a ride from the airport. My husband is a very, very nice person, Baruch Hashem, and of course we should give the Rav a ride from the airport. I'm in the back. I'm not feeling well. I think I probably threw up on the plane. And I, oh my God, I'm actually saying this in public. And I asked that we drop Rav Palm off at the corner, and he should walk down the block. I was 20. I was a few months pregnant. It was a very stupid thing to do, and my children know I don't say that word. I spell it if necessary. I can't believe I did that. And he got out of the car, and he walked down the block, wherever he was going. I don't know if his... Did anyone look up when his father was nifter? Could someone look it up? No, you shouldn't be with your phones. Then they're going to say, Michal, it's telling us to use our phone in Shia. I'm not. I just don't know. What... He was going to visit someone. It was on my mind always. And every year before the Yamim No Ra'im, especially Baruch Hashem, as I became a different person with time, matured a little more from a 20-year-old girl who didn't know much. I mean, don't. I had a Jewish education. I went to Mechala, but like, I'm 20 years old. Whatever. I wasn't the same person. And it was always on my mind. A few years ago, before the Yamim No Ra'im, I contacted my cousin in Toronto, Yitzi Feder. My first cousin. We're very close. And I said, I need Rav Palm's phone number. Please. I said, a lot of years ago, I did something wrong, and I need to ask Mechila. I finally got the courage. I called him on the phone. He has no idea who I am. This goes back a number of years ago. This lady's calling from New York. He had no idea what I was talking about. I was mamish crying on the phone. And this is not so long ago. A few, I don't know, 5 years? I don't remember exactly when it was. And I called him up and he said, many years ago, I was very young, I was expecting. And we made the Rav get out of the car at the corner. I didn't make him walk a mile, a few houses, but it was totally not covered a Rav. And I asked Mechila, I was mamish crying on the phone. Sometimes he did not know what I was talking about. He granted Mechila Baruch Hashem. Sometimes, only years later, do we recognize the impact, the weightiness, the outcome, the ripple effect of our Averos. And it's never too late. I can't believe I said the story, but now that I said I'm okay. It's never too late. If you've done something that needs repentance and you're still alive in this world, just yesterday, I called Rabbi Shai Schechter. Mamish yesterday morning, I parked in Flatbush a few minutes before my shiur started. I told him a certain maisa of a number of years ago, something I said in a shiur. Said, do I need to call that person and ask Mechila? He said, no. He explained why, fine. But it was like a number of years ago. It's never too late. If you know that you've done something that needs teshuvah, it's not too late. Ad yom moso techakalo, Kosh Baruch Hu says. We say in the Nisana Tokef. Reuven realized at this juncture the implications of his sin because it affected the entire household. And the Rav says, because he did a minor infraction, he moved the bed, so just move it back. Who cares? There's 12 strapping brothers. Pick up the bed and put it back in Bila's tent. He undermined the entire authority of Yaakov Avinu, and the brothers say, here comes the dreamer, let's kill him. And that's why he went at this moment to do teshuva. But Akash Baruch Hu rewards him with Hosea. Akash Baruch Hu says, I reward you, you're the first one who initiated teshuva. You're the first chozer b'teshuva on your own. What courage, what honor, what dignity to recognize your sin and be able to confess. And Kosh Baruch Hu rewards him with Hosea. So really, whose story are we reading every year on Shabbat Shuva? Reuven's. The story of Reuven. And it should inspire us. I'm telling you, I have two shaylos for you. The first one is, a few years ago I said such and such. I explained the matzav. Do I have to call a person and ask Mechila? He said, no, whatever. But Lamaisa, it was years ago. Not so many, not like the Rav Palm story. We have to finish this. Like, we are finishing this. Okay. Look at a number of psukim starting in Megillas Rus. Megillas Rus. Okay, you know the story of Rus, I hope, because I don't have time. They're very poor. They come back from the fields of Moab. There's a rich relative. His name is Boaz. Naomi tells Ruth, go glean in his fields. Don't glean in anyone else's fields. Stay here. Eat with the reapers. Drink with the reapers. I'll take care of you. Very nice. They got married and David HaMelech is born. Vayomer la Boaz. Va'esha ochel. Ruth is gleaning in the field. And Boaz says at the time of the meal, Goshi halom va'achalt min alechem v'tavalt piteich b'chometz v'teishu mitzad ha'kotzim v'yitzba la kali v'tocha v'tispa v'tosar. Boaz says it's time to, they're taking a lunch break in the field. It's hot, they're thirsty, they're tired, they're reaping the whole day, the harvesters. She's reaping. Come close, eat from the bread, dip your pita, dip your bread in vinegar. So the Mefarshim say on that, why dip your bread in vinegar? It's very interesting. If you look in the Rus Mikras Gedolos, you'll see what do the Mefarshim say? Because vinegar brings down the body temperature. It's cooling for the body. Okay, I don't know how that works medically, but that's what the Mefarshim say. It was the days before air condition, and vinegar brings down the body. They're working in the fields, and they're hot. Side point. She sits on the side of the harvesters, and he gives her parched grain. Vayitzpa la kali. He gives her lunch. What's the lunch? A piece of burnt corn. She eats and she's satiated and there's even some left over. One pasuk. Next pasuk, Shemos, Perek Dalet, pasuk Yudalet. After a week of arguing at the burning bush, Hashem is very angry at Moshe. Hashem says to Moshe, enough. Hello, Aaron, Achicha, Halevi, Yadati, Ki Yad, Daber, Yadaber, who? Behold, I know, Aaron, your brother, the Levi, he will speak for you, he will see you, he will come out to greet you, he will see you coming back from Midian to Egypt, he will be happy in his heart. Okay, Hashem tells Moshe, stop worrying about Aaron's kavod, Perek, Dalet, Pasuk Yud, Shlach, Nabi, Yad, Tishchach, Rashi says, Lamisha, Atara, Gil, Shlach, Aaron, Hashem says, enough of the excuses, Aaron's going to be happy in his heart. Medrash Rus Rabbah. Medrash Rus Rabbah, Parsha Hey Simavav. So I'm telling you, the Hashkacha process when I was preparing the Shir was really off the charts. I began by telling you that Rav Chaim Brisker spoke twice a year. The introduction to Shir was the last piece I added to the Shir. The introduction came all the way at the end. Rav Chaim Brisker spoke twice a year. Shabbos Shuva when we long for the Geula. No, yes, both. Shabbos Haggadah when we long for the Geula and Shabbos Shuva when we're Osek in Teshuva. But really, both Shabbosos we should be Osek in Teshuva in order to greet the Geula. Medrash Rus Rabbah. Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Mayon, Bo HaKosev L'Lamdecha Shem Adam Osek Mitzvah Yasen B'Lev Avshalim. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Mayon says the Torah comes to teach you that if you're already doing a mitzvah, don't do it lackadaisical. Don't do it under duress. Don't do it with an iron rod. Don't do it with a bad attitude. If you're already doing a mitzvah, do it with your full heart. She'ilu hayaru uven yodeya. She'akosh baruch hu machtiv alav. We did not have time to go into Perek Lamed Zayin. But the Pasuk says something absolutely fascinating, which Rabbi Lord Jonathan Sachs points out only happens once in the entire Chumash. The Torah says something about Reuven that he actually does not do. Reuven's intention was, and Reuven hears the plot, and he saves him from their hands. Reuven hears the plot, but did he save Yosef? No. Rabbi Sack says this is the only covenant conversation. This is the only time in Chumash you see something so unusual. The Torah says Reuven did something he actually did not do. Ilu haya Reuven yodeh shakosh baruch hu machtiv ala vayishma Reuven vayitzir miyadam bichtevo haya molicho eitzel aviv. If Reuven would have known that the Torah would have included for posterity forever that in 5784 in the young Israel of Woodmere we're going to be reading Reuven saved Yosef, Reuven would have carried Yosef home on his shoulders. And if, by the way, we're talking about great biblical personalities. Reuven is the Bechor of the Shiftei Kah. Aaron is the Kohen Gadol. And Rus is the mother of Mashiach. Boaz is the father of Mashiach. We're talking about Tzadikim. But still, the Mandra says, we learn from them that if you're going to do something, do it with your full heart. Ilu haya yodea aron shel kosh baruch hu machtiv alav, hine hu yotze the krasacha, bitupim ubim cholos, haya yotze the krasacha. Aaron, if he would have known that the Torah would have included forever, he'll come out to greet you, he would have gone to greet Moshe with tambourines and dances. V'ilu haya yodea boaz, shakosh baruch hu machtiv Allah, v'yitzpa la kali, v'tocha v'tispa v'tosar. If Boaz would have known that in our Sifrei Kodesh, the 24 books of Tanakh, in Ktuvim, in Megillat Rut, it would have said he gave her some popcorn. Agolos mitufamos hayama achila. He would have fed her fattened calves, not parched grain. The reason I went to this Medrash when I was preparing the shear is because I'm familiar with the Medrash. And it speaks about Reuven's Maisim. But it gets much better, and I bolded it for you. I could not believe the connection to this time period of year. Rabbi Cohen, Rabbi Yoshua Dichsinin, B'Shem Rabbi Levi. Rabbi Cohen and Rabbi Yoshua Dichsinin, in the name of Rabbi Levi, say, Lisha Avar, Haya Adam Ose Mitzvah, V'Hanavi Kosva. V'Achshav Kosha Adam Ose Mitzvah, Mi Kosva. It used to be, not now, but it used to be, that when a person did a mitzvah, it would be included by the Navi in the Sifrei Tanakh. But who's paying attention to anything I'm doing anymore? The biblical canon is closed. No one's listening to anything I'm doing. No one's paying attention. No one's writing it down. I could not believe the Lashon when we talk about the Kesiva and the Chasima Latova. You have to look at the Medrash. Today, who's writing down what we do? Who's taking notice of our good deeds? Eliyahu Kosva, Umelech HaMashiach. We daven for a kesiva and a chasima latova. It's right here. Who is the kesiva tova done by? Eliyahu and Melech HaMashiach. And who is the chasima tova done by? HaKadosh Baruch Hu. When you do something good today, you did a mitzvah, you did teshuva, you asked mechila, you repent, you did something, a chesed, you gave tzedakah. No one notices. The biblical canon is closed. How could you say that? Eliyahu kosva and Melech HaMashiach. Eliyahu, along with Melech HaMashiach, give you the Kesiva Latova. HaKadosh Baruch Hu Chosein. And HaKadosh Baruch Hu gives you the Chasima Latova. It gets even better. Hadahu Dichtiv, like the Pasuk says in Malachi, who is the final Navi. Perek Yim is the final Perek of Neviim in Malachi. As Nidbu Yirei Hashem Isha Re'ehu. What is that from? The Haftorah for Shabbos Haggadah. The two midrashim that we are looking at today that deal with the actions and the tzidkus and the repentance of Reuven. One concludes with the first pasuk of the Haftorah for Shabbos Shuvah. And the other concludes with a pasuk from Shabbos Haggadah. What is the... When we wish people ach kesiva v'chasima l'tova kasveinu b'chayim l'mancha, chasmeinu l'chayim. We ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu that His great Nevi'im Eliyahu and Be'ezer Hashem Melech HaMashiach should write down the good actions so they'll find it come redeem us. And by Me'ilah we change kasveinu to chasmeinu. HaKadosh Baruch Hu b'kvodo b'atzmo gives us the chasima. And the Medrash ends with a pasuk from the last Navi in Neviim, the last Perek in Neviim, which is read as the Haftorah on Shabbos Haggadah. What is the Haftorah of Shabbos Haggadah? It's from Malachi. You see it on your handout. Haftorah for Shabbos Haggadah, Malachi. It's from Perek Gimel, Malachi, which is the final Perek. Psukim Dalet through Chaf Dalet. We do not have time to go through the whole thing, even though I wanted to. We don't have time. But what's the first pasuk of the Haftorah of Shabbos Haggadah? Oz nidberu yirei Hashem ish al re'ehu v'yakshev Hashem v'yishama. Okay, I could not make this shir any better, I don't think. Look at the next words. V'yikasev sefer zicharon lefanav. What is this whole essence of this time period? We daven that the kesiva and the sefer zichrono should be the tova. And the chasim on the sefer zichrono should be the tova. When you're doing a mitzvah, do it with your whole heart. Had only Aaron known. Had only Boaz known. Had only Reuven known. But today, no one's writing. No one's listening. No. Everyone's listening up in Shemayim. Everyone's writing. How do I know, says the Medrash? Because look at the first pasuk of Malachi, that from Perek Gimel, the Haftorah of Pesach. As Nidbiru Yirei Hashem Isha Ve'ehu, the God-fearing will speak one man to another. Vayakshev Hashem. Hashem is listening. He's paying attention. Vayushama. He's paying attention and he's listening. Vayikasev Sefer Zikaron Lefanov. And he writes it in the book of remembrances before him. The Yirei Hashem U'dechosh Veshmo. To those who are God-fearing and those who consider his name. You should go through the whole thing. I wanted to go through it with you. We don't have time. But just look at the last three psukim of the Haftarah from Malachi. Zichru Torah Smosha Avdi. The three last psukim of Nevi'im. Remember the Torah of Moshe, my servant, that I commanded in Bechorei. V'alkoi Yisrael also ties into Azinu and Vizosa Brecha so perfectly. Chukim in Mishpatim. Remember, Malachi says, in the name of God, the Torah of Moshe, my servant, that I commanded in Mechorev, Har Sinai, upon all of Israel, the Chukim, the Mishpatim, the statutes, the laws. When we can successfully undergo the process of Teshuvah. Shabbat Teshuvah is actually the story of Reuven. And it's the story of all of us. Rav Chaim Brisker says the Rava, but his grandfather was not a powerful orator. But he influenced everyone in Brisk. Through his actions. Jews are more concerned with the internal than the external. Rav Chaim Brisker spoke only twice a year. Shabbos HaGadol. When we read Malachi and Shabbos Shuvah. What are the last words of Nevi'im? Hine anochi sholeach chamis Eliyahu anavi. Lefnei bo yom Hashem HaGadol v'anora. That's the last pasuk in Nevi'im, the first word. Veheshiv. Veheshiv leiv avos al banim, the leiv banim al avosam, pen avo vi kesias aretz cherem. When we are able to be osek in the call of Hosea, Shuva Yisrael ad Hashem Elokecha, and the call of Malachi is heard around the world, veheshiv leiv avos al banim, we'll be zocha that all of our actions that are written by Eliyahu Melech HaMashiach and are stamped by HaKadosh Baruch Hu himself in the Sefer Zikaron Lefanav. Reuven, on the one hand, is sometimes referred to as a weak biblical personality. But Reuven, on the other hand, is a very courageous biblical personality. Vayashav Reuven al Habar, Zuk the Medrash, Amar lo HaKadosh Baruch Hu, may olam lo chata adam lefanai v'asa teshuva, v'ata potachta b'teshuva techila chayecha, sheben bincha omeid upoteach b'teshuva techila shenemar, shuva Yisrael, ad Hashem Elokecha, ki koshalta, even if it's unintentional, says the Kotzko. So if you're 20, and you're pregnant, and you don't appreciate Kavod HaRav, and you make him get out at the corner, you can call him back decades later. And you can always repent. I wish you a gewaldic, uplifting kesiva. The kesiva's already been done. A chasima letova, a beautiful yontif. We resume the first Thursday, Be'ezrat Hashem, after the chagim. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol tov.